It is Tuesday, and as always, that means it is Reporter's Notebook Day. We always have Jason Miller talking with Federal News Radio's Tom Temin about what's inside the Reporter's Notebook. Biweekly, we also have Inside the DoD Reporter's Notebook. Normally, that would mean I would be talking to Tom Temin and telling him about what I wrote in the DoD Reporter's Notebook. But since I'm filling in for Tom this week, we're going to try something a little bit different. Jason Miller and I are going to talk about my version of the notebook. So we've got four topics to choose from. Jason, where do you want to start?
Well, I'll start with door number one, which is the new data center rules that are coming from the DoD. You heard from DoD CIO Tara Halverson quite a bit last week. One of the things he talked about was being more prescriptive when it comes to reining in costs around data centers. Tell us a little bit what he said.
So Halverson mentioned this in his congressional testimony before the House Armed Services Committee last month, when he just came right out and acknowledged that DoD has not done what it should have and what it could have out of the federal data center consolidation initiative that's now been going on for 5 years. So he didn't really get into this during his testimony, but he told reporters on a conference call on Friday that he's really going to start being, as you said, prescriptive with what individual DoD components need to do to cut down their data center costs. He doesn't know exactly what that means yet and what sorts of prescriptions he might offer. Part of that is because he's waiting for some data to come back from the DoD agencies and the military departments on exactly where the highest costs are. So I asked him, what sort of costs are they going to be pursuing? I mean, and how do you determine what's an expensive data center and what's not? Is it number of apps per CPU cycle? Is it dollars per unit of storage? And he very clearly said, nope, it's labor. We are really interested in getting after labor. That's where most of the cost savings are to be wrung out. That's where most of the inefficiencies are, especially in areas where you have people still doing processes manually that can and should be automated.
The DoD IG actually put out a report just recently regarding the effort by DoD around data center consolidation. Is that where this is coming from in part? I mean, Halverson knew that the report was on the way. Halverson knew what the report basically said. Was he trying to maybe spin it a little bit?
I think that's certainly a possibility, but you're exactly right in pointing out that Terry Halverson is not the first one to have noticed that DoD does have some high labor costs in some of its data centers. Most of that, one imagines, are contract labor that would be relatively easy to shed once you figure out where your costs are and once these mandates start coming out from the DoD CIO's office. I think one of the concerns that you would have to watch out for is you don't want to be going out and just measuring numbers of bodies in a data center, because what that could be a sign of is a center that's already pretty efficient because it has had a lot of applications and systems already consolidated into it. So it has a lot of people working there just by virtue of the fact that it is large and it's one of the department's more efficient ones. I mean, imagine if you look at a DISA Defense Enterprise Computing Center. There are something like a dozen of them around the country, but they host massive amounts of applications and data and probably have a lot of labor in them. So the key, I think, is this unnecessary manual labor, or is this labor that's actually being used well? And that's what they're going to have to figure out.
There's a whole focus here on cost. You mentioned the biggest cost is people. How much of this is also optimization? How much of this is DISA and really DoD more broadly, really just being better at using the data centers that they have instead of the need or the desire to always build new ones? This consolidation effort has been going on for several years, so right. It's not necessarily new to say, why are all these people here? Like, what's really the focus here?
I think your question's right on that, you know, you can't just look at people, even if it is the single biggest cost driver. But I think the thinking is that all of the other things that you would want to do to reduce costs in other ways kind of are happening already. So to take the example of DISA's MilCloud, for instance, they're already in the process of trying to make that more efficient by essentially privatizing it, by hiring a private cloud vendor to come in and take over what has up until now been a government-operated, government-owned service. And you see the Army doing things like asking a private cloud company to come onto its bases in places like Redstone Arsenal, Alabama, and run a private cloud inside a government facility, which would be kind of a first in the DoD. So I think the thinking is they're exploring already the other things that you would want to do in order to become more efficient in your data centers, and labor has really been the toughest nut to crack so far.
And I think that's what a lot of the civilian agencies also are facing, is this high cost of the people. and then on the way to optimization. But you brought up the other hot topic of cloud. When you talk data center consolidation, you're thinking agencies are going to move their applications, their services to the cloud. DoD is also looking at the cloud process, but this is on the cybersecurity side. What did Halvorsen say about that?
So this is really interesting. As everybody will remember, DoD, it's only been about a year since DoD came out with the first version of its new security requirements guide for cloud, which basically takes the FedRAMP process that's used across the government for what the equivalent in DoD is level 2 data, basically unsensitive, unclassified data. And then they add a FedRAMP plus process for higher sensitivity levels of data. That process has really only been in place for about a year, but Mr. Halvorsen told us on Friday that they're already looking at completely revamping that and getting to basically a completely new certification and accreditation process for cloud. And the next steps here are to bring in basically a working group of both private sector and government experts in cybersecurity. That's going to happen sometime within the next several weeks to figure out what the way ahead is. Halvorsen did kind of telegraph where he thinks the department should be going, which is basically instead of having a package that's based on a single cloud product that is assessed through the FedRAMP process and matched up against all the FedRAMP security controls and the FedRAMP Plus security controls, what you would do instead is examine the processes that a cloud service provider uses on essentially all of its products to ensure that they're secure and that customers' data is protected, so that you would then assess against that company's processes rather than cloud product ABCDE. So pretty intriguing. We know very little about where Mr. Halvorsen's mind is headed on this. He mentioned it at the very tail end of a conference call on Friday, so we didn't get to follow up, but it's definitely going to bear watching in the next few weeks.
You mentioned FedRAMP. The thing that occurs to me is, you know, DoD is part of the FedRAMP process, a major part. They're part of the Joint Authorization Board, the JAB. Sure. Halvorsen is the one who is, you know, giving the gold standard, the gold seal of approval to a lot of cloud providers. And it's unclear whether he's talking about that level two data that, as you mentioned, low and moderate, or is he really focused on the levels 4 and 5 data, the more high baseline that is also under development through FedRAMP. But bringing together an industry and government group, coming up with new requirements, that, you know, is a bad sign either for FedRAMP that DoD is frustrated with the process and believes it needs to break off, or maybe Halvorsen just wasn't clear enough. This is only for that's really sensitive data.
Yeah, I'd be lying if I said I knew the answer to that question, but I've got to say my impression was that he's talking about basically everything that goes through DoD's current cloud certification process, which even at level two is not pure FedRAMP, because you also have to get a provisional authorization from DISA, even though that's a relatively easy process at level two, and then get an authority to operate. And just to wrap up on that, I think the main concern that is in Mr. Halvorsen's mind is that once you have a static process, relatively static process like FedRAMP that certifies a product one time and then only periodically takes another look at it, you know, a company who's really innovating and adding new security features and other features onto its products, in Mr. Halvorsen's words, almost on a nightly basis, the government's going to miss out on all of those new additions until the next time a company's newest cloud product has gone through the FedRAMP process, which takes a while.
It does. And I know that FedRAMP has talked about the continuous monitoring piece of it to always update it.
I know we're almost out of time, but I've got to talk to you about this one.
This from the file of crazy government procurement. The Army has one about handgun acquisitions. Tell us what's going on there.
So this has actually been going on long before the tenure of the current chief of staff, General Mark Milley. But it's something that he's really used as emblematic of what he sees as a need to continue giving the individual military services, and particularly the service chiefs, more acquisition authority. Basically, the formal part of this procurement process, which is valued at $580 million to purchase a new handgun, has been going on since 2011.
That's just ridiculous, by the way. 5 years to purchase a handgun. Can't they just go to, like, you know, Smith & Wesson and just say, we need one, give it to us?
So that's basically exactly what General Milley said in congressional testimony last week. One of the numbers that's been thrown around, in addition to the fact that this is going to be a $580 million procurement, is that the testing process all by itself was projected to cost $17 million in 2 years. And Milley, mentioning this at an event last March at New America, said, give me $17 million, I'll go down to Cabela's and outfit every soldier, sailor, airman, and marine in the United States military. The math is not quite right on that, but his general point is, let me decide what gun works best for us. I'm in charge of Army requirements, and let me go buy it. And that's kind of the general take that he's taking toward all things Army acquisition.
You know, this just reminds me of the $500 hammer, the $500 ashtray, the toilet seat, you name it, that just goes into the ridiculous, this shouldn't be that hard file. Jared Serber, always a pleasure to catch up with you on the Reporter's Notebook.